The Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Please listen to this episode. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Wednesday, is the 1st of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and 15th of November, 2023, the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is Allah's book, the Holy Quran, chapter al-Ahzab, that is chapter 33 of the Holy Quran, Verse 32.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلن قولا معروفا.
O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech to man, lest he in whose heart is disease should covet, but speak with appropriate speech.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
When the wives of the Prophet, most of whom were old and aged and had a simple life, are warned that they should not speak with an amorous gesture, the young and beautiful women must count their own account. From one side, because of your connection to the Prophet and that you are inside the center of revelation and hear the verses of the Quran and teachings of Islam. On the other side, you have such a particular situation that you can be a model for all women, whether in the way of piety or in the way of sin. Therefore, you must recognize your situation and do not neglect your heavy responsibility.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you know I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
This is today's special hijab fashion in the view of Islam. Muslims are required to pay attention to their appearance, making sure that their clothing is beautiful and clean, especially when dealing with others and when performing the prayers. Looking at the women wearing hijab in different countries, you will see that the form that the hijab takes is more influenced by culture than anything. You will find women who wear it very long and women who wear it shorter. What Muslim women do now is trying to fit in as many different styles and combinations within set parameters and guidelines through color, fabrics, and style of wearing the hijab. You will even find that during some seasons, certain colors will be in fashion, while in other seasons, different colors will be more.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The role of modest fashion in Islamic culture. So, what are the dangers of fashionism? Fashionism characterized by an excessive obsession with fashion trends and materialistic values presents several concerns from an Islamic perspective. The first is materialism. Islam encourages detachment from the material world and warns against excessive pursuit of material possessions. Fashionism often promotes materialism as individuals invest substantial time and financial resources into acquiring the latest trends. The next danger is immodesty. The next danger of fashionism is immodesty. Fashionism can lead to the promotion of immodest attire, which contradicts the Islamic emphasis on modesty and humility in dress. The third danger that we can talk about and name here is vanity and arrogance. Yes, vanity and arrogance can be a danger of fashionism. An obsessive focus on fashion can breed vanity and arrogance. And arrogance, qualities that Islam discourages. The next danger that we can refer to is peer pressure. Fashionism is often fueled by societal pressures to conform to specific fashion standards. Islam encourages individuals to resist negative societal influences when they contradict their religious values.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
In this program, today's a special, you'll learn about the requirements of hijab. One of them is not imitating other faith. Islam encourages people to be proud of who they are. Muslims should look like Muslims and not like mere imitation of people of other faith around them. Women should be proud of their femininity and not dress like men. And men should be proud of their masculinity and not try to imitate women in their dress. For this reason, Muslim men are forbidden from wearing gold and silk, as these are considered feminine accessories. Another requirement of hijab is decent but not flashy. The Quran instructs that clothing is meant to cover our private areas and be an adornment. As in Quran chapter 7 verse 26, Allah mentions it. Clothing worn by Muslims should be clean and decent, neither excessively fancy nor ragged. One should not dress in a manner intended to gain the admiration or sympathy of others. That starting with a friend is one of the tips to get started with hijab. Yes, it's only natural for us to seek moral support, especially when embarking on a new journey. Remember, as well as being adherents of faith, we are also human beings. Allah Himself knows this, as does not neglect our emotional and psychological needs. Started this journey with a friend or family member will not only provide you with the support and motivation you need, but will increase you in rewards. As we know, when we encourage another onto a good deed, we also receive the rewards of the deed without any being taken away from that person.
If you end up spending like $600 on a shirt, just a regular T-shirt,
right,
that you're gonna wear when you go to sleep, that just has a LV sign,
mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, you know. Yeah. There is no reason for it. However, I would say maybe for certain individuals, mm-hmm. In certain places, like I said, to demonstrate their success, to demonstrate their power. it is needed. So we can't say, or desired.
Right.
So we can't say, you know, well, it's good for somebody and it's bad for someone else.
Right.
If, you know, you're looking at something that's going to make you look better and nicer and more presentable and seemingly more successful, mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it does not do several things. One, it's not israf. Mm-hmm. You're not overdoing it. You're not transgressing in the way that you spend. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. Second, it doesn't become addictive, where it's like a drug, where you feel that without, you know, this Louis Vuitton bag or this Louis Vuitton purse or without, you know, my Prada shoes, then I am not the person that I would like to be.
Right.
For you to understand that those things don't define who you are. Mm-hmm. If you are constantly in need of those things to feel good about yourself, then you have to cure this issue in a different way.
Right.
If I constantly feel I need to flash, you know, my watch or my jewelry or my tattoos or whatever it is that's fashionable, if I need to constantly flash those things, that tells me there's something wrong within. And that is, you know, lack of attention, that is greed for attention, wanting to just be flashy all the time, not being content with who you are, not right. being content with what you have, being greedy for the dunya. And that is not something that's desirable. If you buy those things and you have them and you enjoy them for yourself,
right?
Yes, maybe other people will look at them and they will enjoy them on you. And like I said, it would give you an image of success and your achievements. But even without them, even when you're not wearing that watch, even when you're not wearing that belt, even when you're not doing all those things, people still respect you.
Right.
People still desire you for who you are. So whether you're a successful attorney or a successful physician or a successful scholar, this is who you are. Anything beyond that is the decoration or the ornaments of the dunya.
So we were speaking about hijab. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on this controversial and interesting topic on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget to listen to us. And till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is another thought-provoking saying for our guidance from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Live among people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you, and if you are alive, they crave for your company.
Thank you.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the prophets of God, salamullah alayhim. As you know, prophethood, nubuwwat, is one of the main components of our faith. After the belief in God, there's nothing as important as prophecy and prophethood and nubuwwat. And these two, along with the hereafter, the concept of the resurrection and the hereafter, are the three main pillars of the Islamic faith, the theoretical pillars of the Islamic faith. And, all of the other, beliefs in Islamic belief system, kind of either emanate from, this belief in God or in the prophecy or the hereafter. Like even, for example, Imamat, which is one of the main components of the Shiite creed, it is an offshoot of prophecy itself and a continuation of it. And for example, justice, this is also a continuation of belief in God and his existence. Right, so this shows us the significance of it. And according to Muslims, prophets, they have specific characteristics which distinguishes them from other people. And that is the reason why they, in particular, have been chosen for being prophets and for performing this function bringing the message of God and revelation to the people to guide them. Some of these characteristics have been mentioned in the Holy Quran. Others have been narrated in the hadith, such as the hadith that we want to recite for you today. Imam Ali alayhi salam, while describing the prophets of God, salamullah alayhim, said the following: they were people who were subject to oppression. Right? So, in their, battle against oppression, they were always oppressed and they were subjugated to, tyranny. Whom Allah had tried with hunger, afflicted with difficulty, tested with fear and shaken with troubles. If Allah had wished to open for His prophets treasures of gold, mines of pure gold, and grounds of gardens wherever He sent them, He would have done so. But if He did, tests would be invalid and reward would be inapplicable. Rather, Allah, the Glorified, made His prophets strong in their determination and weak in their appearance, as seen from the eyes, with contentment that fills the hearts, and eyes with riches, and with poverty that pains the eyes and ears. So the main theme in this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He withheld the worldly riches and wealth from His prophets as a test to see whether they were worthy of prophecy and the delegation that He wanted to entrust them with, but he also gave them and He bestowed upon them other features and characteristics which virtues which would help them in their mission. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the characteristics of the prophets of God in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will be talking about ayah 31 of Surah Al-An'am on page
131.
So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, turn to page 131, ayah 31 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's get started, everybody. Let's listen to the recitation first.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad khasira alladhina kadhabu bi liqa'i Allah hatta idha ja'atuhum as-sa'atu baghtah قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها وهم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم ألا ساء ما يزرون.
That's a nice recitation, mashallah. So we will have a short explanation about this ayah first, and then of course you have to refer to the tafsir books for what? For details, okay? For detailed explanation. All right. Allah Almighty says in ayah 31 of Surah Al-An'am, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قَدْ خَسِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. They are certainly losers who deny the encounter with Allah Almighty. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً. When the hour, sa'a here means day of judgment, okay? One of the names of day of judgment is sa'a, or hour, okay? Doesn't mean hour 60 minutes, okay? It does not mean that the day of judgment will last for 60 minutes. No. Sa'a means time, okay? Time that comes, okay? Hatta idha ja'atuhum as-sa'atu baghtatan. And when the hour overtakes them suddenly, means when suddenly the day of judgment happens, qalu, the disbelievers, they say, ya, the losers, the disbelievers, they say, ya hasratana ala ma farratna fiha. They will say, alas for us. They feel pity for themselves, for what we neglected in it, in the world, in this world, in dunya. وَهُمْ يَحْمِلُونَ أَوْزَارَهُمْ عَلَى ظُهُورِهِمْ. And they will bear their burdens on their backs. They will have, it means they will have their a'mal, their deeds, okay, on their backs, and they will move. They will move to where? Heaven or hell? Hellfire for sure, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Then Allah Almighty says, أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَزِرُونَ. Look, evil is what they bear, what they hold with them, okay? What they have on their backs. What does Allah Almighty mean by saying, فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ سَاعَ بَغْتَةً. The day of judgment overcomes them suddenly, okay? What does it mean? Do you know when the day of judgment happens?
No.
No? Nobody knows when the day of judgment happens, takes place, okay? وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They will ask from the Prophet, what is ruh exactly? Okay? Ruh, the reality of ruh, okay? Prophet says, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. O Prophet, say, Allah says to the Prophet, that Prophet, you tell the people that ruh is something that Allah knows about it, the reality of it, okay? Okay? And also, إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The knowledge of when the day of judgment happens. Also, Allah says to the Prophet, O Prophet, tell the people that إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The knowledge of when the day of judgment, okay, happens is with Allah Almighty. So Allah Almighty has the knowledge. He has two types of knowledges you will study, okay? That He has given the knowledge needed for the Prophet, and also the knowledge, okay, that which is necessary for human beings, okay, to get to perfection. All right? So the knowledge which is necessary. All right? The time when the day of judgment happens, takes place, it's up to Allah Almighty. All right?
Yes.
إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. So, look, in the day of judgment, there will be a lot of people who will regret what they have done. This ayah actually talks about the non-believers, okay? The infidels. But it's up to... This is a general thing, okay? Look, a lot of people will be regretting in the day of judgment. That's why one of the names of day of judgment is Yawmul Hasra. Yawmul Hasra, the day of regret. A lot of people will regret, okay, that day. In that day. They will regret about, oh God, why did we neglect in the dunya, okay? Look, they say, alas for us, for what we neglected in it, in the dunya. We have a lot of time to get closer and closer to Allah Almighty, to get to perfection, to learn more about Islam, about religion, about day of judgment, about everything, okay? But if you waste your time in the day of judgment, you will neglect. You will regret. Of course, in this world as well, we will regret. Yes? We sometimes we regret for our yesterday. Oh, I had 4 hours, I had free time. Why did I waste my time? Why didn't I study? Why didn't I work? Huh? We regret. This is, so the whole thing, and the day of judgment, there are a lot of people who will regret their life in the world, in dunya. We wasted our, okay, time, and yes, in the day of judgment, you will have nothing. And also, the last point from this ayah, that whatever you do, you are responsible for that. Okay? If God forbid you waste your time, okay, you do haram things, okay, I'm not responsible for that. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرُ أُخْرَى. I will not hold your deeds, I will not have your deeds with me. I'm not responsible for what you do. Okay? And there are some exceptions, but overall, I'm not responsible for what you do, you're not responsible for what I do. You regret for your stuff, I regret for my stuff. That's all. Okay, refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, to learn more.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, let's move on to the tajweed rules, but before that, let's recite a salawat and get ready.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Qad khasira alladhina kadhabu biliqa'i Allah. So, these letters that Ali Nasir will mention, these letters are important, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, in terms of pronunciation. Okay, if you want to pronounce, if you want to have a correct recitation of this ayah, remember that these letters really matter. What letters, Ali Nasir?
Qaf.
Qaf, make a heavy sound. Qa, qa, not ka. Qa.
Kha.
Ah, kha or kha? Kha. Okay, kha. Qad, kha, not kha. Kha, kha, no.
Dhal.
Dhal, not z. Th. Bite your tongue a bit and say that. Th.
Ha.
Ha. Hatta. Good job.
Hamza.
Hamza.
Ghain.
Ghain, you mean? Sa'a first. Ghain, then ghain, yes?
Yeah.
A. Because ghain is different from Hamza, that's why you should pay attention.
Yes.
A. 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 They're different. Gha, ghain is also, because we don't have this in English, English speakers might have challenges with this, okay?
We have ta.
Yeah. Ta, farratna. Good job.
And we have da.
Dha, yeah. Zuhurihim. And ha, soft ha.
Yeah.
The equivalent for the letter H in English. So these letters really matter. You should pronounce them correctly. Okay. Some of the rules, very shortly, we will mention. Qad, dal has an echoing sound. Qad, qad, qad khasira alladhina. Kha, heavy sound. Ra, heavy sound. Qad khasira alladhina kadhabu bi liqa'i Allah. Liqa'. You remember I told you about the rules of mat in the previous session?
Yes.
So, in this word, liqa'. Alif and Hamza are in the same word, in one word, the mad is wajib. You should extend it for 5 to 6 counts. Sila tells you, as Hassan told us in the previous session. Hassan, can you tell us? Sila, and there is also a jim, a baby jim there. So could you tell us about these stopping signs? Sila tells us?
Yes. Sila tells us that we are allowed to continue here.
Or stop?
We can. It's better to continue here.
It's better to continue, but you can make a pause.
Yes.
All right.
And Jim tells us that we are allowed to stop or continue.
There is no priority, yes? Whether you continue or stop, it's equal. But when Salah is there, Salah tells what? It's better to continue.
Yes.
Better not to stop here. There is one more sign, Qila. It's opposite to Salah.
Yes.
It says?
It says that it's better to stop.
Better there. To stop. Okay. Good job. Thank you. Hatta إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ Look, hatta, the mad is not wajib. Because Hamza is an another word. In another word. جَاءَتْهُمْ Hamza is in the word جَاءَ. And Alif is also there. It's wajib extended. جَاءَتْهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً غَيْنْ هَيْبِسَنْ بَغْتَةً قَالُوا How do you do this? How do you read this? بَغْتَةً قَالُوا This way?
No, بَغْتَةً
Ah, you hide the sound of tanwin. بَغْتَةً قَالُوا قَالُوا هَيْبِسَنْ يَا حَسْرَتَنَا عَلَى مَا فَرَّطَ هَيْبِسَنْ فَرَّطَنَا فِيهَا وَهُمْ يَحْمِلُونَ أَوْزَارَهُمْ عَلَى ظُهُورِهِمْ ظُهُورِهِمْ Allah, heavy sound and also pronunciation matters. أَلَا أَلَا سَاءَ مَا يَزِرُونَ Hamza in the word سَاء right after Alif, they are in the same word, Alif and Hamza. Mad letter with Hamza. So extend the sound. That's all. Ready to repeat after me? Let's practice the recitation. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. The last part of our class, practice the recitation with us. Listen and repeat. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
قد خسر الذين كذبوا بلقاء الله
قد خسر الذين كذبوا بلقاء الله
حتى إذا جاءتهم الساعة بغتة قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها
حتى إذا جاءتهم الساعة بغتة قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها
قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها وهم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم
قالوا يا حسرتنا على ما فرطنا فيها وهم يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم
ألا ساء ما يزرون
ألا ساء
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم Allah bless you brothers and sisters dear listeners thank you so much for being with us thanks Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser inshallah we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions stay with IRB English Radio thanks to IRB English Radio Sevilla International Schools for cooperations والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different constituents of supplications. After that, we moved on to have a rather long analysis of the different effects of the different aspects of supplications. We concluded that based on our analysis, we understood that in our supplications, there are numerous features in which sublime intentions are set and placed by the Almighty Allah. The first objective was the fact that all the actions in the world and in the heavens are referred to the Almighty Allah. No one is absolute cause except Him, and He is the one who needs to do everything. Every other thing. That is capable of doing anything is only by His consent, is only through His power, His will, and His intention. The second point is that those very infallible imams who are engaged in supplication, most of the time they are seen to be engaged in supplication so intensely that the normal human being wonders, why would someone who is infallible would be so humble in the supplication, why would someone like the infallible imams engage in supplication so humbly? Why would they confess to their weakness at this, in this method and in this way, while we know that they are divine men? We provided different answers to this question in the previous episodes. And thirdly, we arrived at this conclusion that the third objective of the supplications is the very fact that the power of the Almighty Allah is referred to. But at the very same time, the most sophisticated philosophical issues and mental issues that we need to deal with if we want to understand Islam fully, they are dealt with in the supplications.
First name. Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
We refer to the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam specifically regarding knowing the Almighty Allah and recognizing our Lord. That is why Imam said, تَعَرَّفْتَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَا جَهِلَكَ شَيْءٍ. Imam says that everything in the world knows you. Imam says that even the stones, mountains, iron and steel, they all know you. And then Imam implicitly is asking us and you supplicants, what would be your state if you do not know your Lord, while everything in the world knows the Almighty? Allahumma ya dhal mulk. O Allah, you are the possessor. You are the possessor of what? You are the possessor of everlasting kingdom over the world. Your kingdom is so dominant that it has no limit in its beginning. This is what we read in 32nd supplication of Sahifatul Sajjadiyyah. Nor does it have an end to its termination, this kingdom. Your kingdom is so high that everything has failed to reach. The utmost description of the descriptors will not reach the least of what you have appropriated to yourself. وَلَا يَبْلُغُ أَدْنَى مَا اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَقْصَى نَعْتَ النَّعِتِينَ. In these sentences, Imam alayhi salam says that you are the absolute cause that no one can ever discuss, no one can ever describe, even the best of the descriptors, even the best of the descriptions of the best descriptors is not able to reach the depth of you, is not able to reach what you have appropriated to yourself. This is, in other words, the very same thing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam said. Imam said, بِكَ عَرَفْتُكَ. I have known you by you. وَأَنْتَ دَلَلْتَنِي إِلَيْهِ. And I have come to know you through you. This means that if we are to recognize the Almighty Allah, we must start with Him, Himself. In these sentences that I will recite, Imam Hussein alayhi salam refers to this noticeable point. He has defined the infinite kingdom, and he has referred also to the kingdom and might in these words, the limits of that kingdom are not shown by any beginning or end. Although by the use of the expression, he is the first and he is the last, his kingdom is known to be carrying the attributes of beginning and the end. every creature before being of its own belongs to God. That is why Imam Hussein alayhi salam has said, O you who have become so near, يَا مَنْ دَنِيَ فَلَا شَيْءَ دُونَ, that nothing is nearer than, and have become so high, وَعَلَى فَلَا شَيْءَ فَوْقَ, that nothing is higher than. And this expression indicates that he encompasses everything. And this is only one part of the teaching program of the supplications. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Hari, who set up the Hawza in Qom.